This is Bon Apple Tea.
I'm Connor.
I'm Robin.
And I'm Rua. And this is a podcast about cursed foods. Our definition of cursed foods is foods that are made by, like, mass produced and made by a big company, but are just bad ideas, whether that be a strange collaboration, a kind of seasonal item, or just a wacky flavor.
We rate these foods based on a
Dungeons and Dragons.
Dungeons and Dragons. I had Dragon Age on the brain from our previous conversation. A D&D-based alignment chart with evil to good, evil being tastes horrible, good being great, and neutral being neither. And chaotic to lawful, with chaotic being a really crazy idea and lawful being not that off the wall. This week, what are we reviewing?
Our fruit. This week is fruit.
Yes.
So, and we also have like a Bon Apple Tea first. We've got on location.
Recording. Yeah, me and Connor managed to make a quick trip up to Cairns before Melbourne was locked down again for the fifth time.
It was the fifth time, and now we're in the sixth lockdown.
So we obviously up in Cairns, it's far north Queensland. There's lots of really cool tropical fruit. It was actually really lucky timing because it was fruit season just then. There was loads of places that had amazing fruit, like tropical fruit ice cream. And we did find an unusual fruit, which it's obviously not made by a brand or anything. Fruit is just made
nature
by...
Nature is the biggest brand.
Nature is the biggest brand. No, actually, some fruits are made by brands. Obviously, apples.
Yeah, true.
Branding.
The cotton candy grapes.
I would love to have found some of those, but they're not selling them here right now.
They sell them sometimes. But...
Yeah. So, yeah, we did an on-location recording of a strange fruit up in Cairns.
Yeah. And we'll cross to that in the middle where we sometimes do a fact.
Okay, so who wants to get started this week? Rue, do you want to go first?
I will go first. I've got my two items. Make a delightful afternoon tea, I reckon. But I'll go for the one that is probably expiring the fastest in the summer
as
heat.
As we speak.
This is something that is very, very common in Japan, but I think is totally weird. And even though it's quite common, in all my years living in Japan, I have never had. And it's a fruit sandwich.
Oh, yes. I always looked at those and was like, should I? And then just decided to get the egg sando again.
I never went for it. And this was a last minute choice. I had a different item lined up. And then I saw just like in the base of the station, they had like a little pop-up booth of like a fruit sandwich shop selling, I guess, luxury fruit sandwiches.
I don't know the origin of the fruit sandwich. I feel like it's come from a bit like how Japanese cake is often sort of like fruit cake, like with the layered fresh fruit and cream.
Yeah, like I guess Japanese bread is quite sweet, like it's kind of milk bread,
cakey.
A bit cakey, so like very fluffy. And so I guess there's that. And I made the most common fruit sandwich you see is a strawberry sandwich, but I went for a more seasonal item. I've gone for a peach sandwich.
Honestly, it sounds pretty yum to me.
Yeah, there is, and like I can imagine what it's going to taste like because I know what bread tastes like. I know what margarine tastes like. And I know what peaches taste like, and I know what cream tastes like. But I don't know whether these textures will go together. We shall see. Oh, no. The convenient opening tab didn't work.
Oh. No. I miss the convenient opening tabs.
I remember when my mom came to visit me in Japan, I taught her how to do the ones on the onigiri, the little rice balls. And then after a while, we were talking about like how Japan uses way too much plastic. And my mom said, oh, well, the convenience tabs on the onigiri, they're so good and so well designed that I'm pretty sure Japan will come up with something to stop the climate crisis. And I just thought that was so wonderfully optimistic. Completely misguided. undecided on what Japan's priorities are. Technology.
So, I like the kind of jump from like convenient package opening to climate crisis solving. So this sandwich is massive. It's absolutely massive. I'd say, wait a second, let me get my ruler. They've got full, it's not, they haven't sliced the peach. They've like quartered the peach.
Okay.
And then put the quartered peach between two slices of bread with some cream and some margarine.
So it's really thick.
Yes, it is. It is a 6.5 centimeter tall sandwich.
That's like bigger than most people's mouths, I think.
Yeah, I've got a huge mouth. So like this will help, I guess, with my kind of snake-like jaw. But
hinge.
Yeah. Oh, and they've left the skin on the peach, which is an unusual move for Japan. Japan peels every fruit. Apples, pears, grapes. People peel their grapes. Everything is peeled. So let's try this. Let's try this peach sandwich. Surprisingly savory.
Wow.
But I don't know.
Are the peaches ripe?
Okay. So I ate a bit of the bread by itself. Well, the bread and the cream. That's not savory. The bread is better than most Japanese bread, actually. And this one is like from a nice shop. This shop is called Fruit Sand, because sandwich is often abbreviated to sand. Just I love sand.
My favorite is cookie sand.
Yes.
Cookie sand. The peach is like, it's sweet, but it's not like the soft peach. It's still kind of crunchy peach, which makes it a bit unruly inside. Like the cream makes it very slippery. But I guess what they've done to make it look extra appealing in the fridge and for the peach not to brown while it's being cut is it's very, very lemony.
Oh,
they've put a lot of lemon on the peach to stop it from oxidizing. And that's left the sandwich surprisingly sour. And then we have another bite.
I just want to like paint a visual image for listeners of how much like a chipmunk Roo looked taking that bite.
It's so hard because the peach is this massive chunk of peach that is so slippery. It's just so hard to wrangle. Right.
I feel like strawberry would work better in a sandwich.
Mm.
The textures might match more easily.
Mm. That was a very crunchy bit. I'm not much of a whipped cream is like fine, but it's not something I like actively look out for in a cake or whatever. So this huge quantity of whipped cream, the peach, I think they were from, it was from different peaches because one peach was quite soft. One bite of the one peach chunk was quite soft and a lot of it has been quite crunchy. Like I think it wasn't quite ripe.
I do not like a crunchy peach.
Yeah. Fruit hot take. I think nectarines are better than peaches.
Yeah, I think a really ripe peach is great.
Yeah.
But you don't need to get them that ripe. It's like one day. Whereas the nectarines are really good for a few days.
I think the average nectarine is better than the average peach, but the best peach is better than the best nectarine.
Yes, I would agree with you there.
Mm.
And also like peach flavor, like as a flavoring is maybe better because I've never seen nectarine flavoring exactly.
No, I never had nectarine flavoring in like rock candy and it's just like peach.
Okay.
I think I would have preferred to just to eat a peach.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would have been. I usually don't rate things that are normal in Japan, but not normal in Australia. Chaotic, because I feel as though, like that's not like fair, you know. But I am going to rate this chaotic.
I think because it's sort of like an imported thing. The concept of sandwiches are completely imported to Japan anyway.
Yeah.
Like doing that to it is kind of chaotic, even if it's been done for a while.
Yeah, I think the concept of like a fruit sandwich is chaotic. It's chaotic neutral. Like, okay. The peach is yum, but...
It sounds like I'm could not... be done better than that one is. Mm. Like, other fruits and might be better.
It also sounds like, as you said, it's maybe less than the sum of its parts. Mm.
Very much so. Mm. Very, very much so. It tastes of disappointment. Mm. okay, that could have been a very nice peach and an okay slice of bread.
Mm.
And a pile of whipped cream somewhere else. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Okay, should I go next?
Yep.
So this, again, this is not super weird for different countries. I got this at KFL, which is the Asian supermarket. But the reason I got this is because we found these up in Cairns and we really wanted to eat one, but we did not know how to eat them because we'd never seen them before. And we are... Yeah. Newbies to tropical fruit, I guess. So this is soursop drink.
Oh.
Soursop is like a spiky green fruit. It's sort of maybe the size of like a...
It looks like a baby jackfruit.
Yeah, or like a little mango, but with spikes.
Yeah.
It's got a picture of it. It says, healthier choice, health promotion board, lower in sugar. So I guess this is the healthy version. It's only got 51 calories in the can. The second ingredient is sugar, but the third ingredient is soursop puree. So I expect this to be a good representation of what we didn't taste in cans.
Yeah.
So it's just a can, normal kind of soft drink can. Let's try and get the sound of this open. There we go. I think it might be carbonated as well. Okay. Giving that a sniff. Smells a bit like lychee. It's quite nice. I really like lychee, so. And I'll give it a drink. Okay, it's not carbonated.
Ah.
It's actually really nice.
Is it sour?
No, not very.
It's quite sweet. Why is it called a soursop?
The second ingredient is sugar, so maybe this one is...
De-soured.
De-soured. Yeah, no, it tastes like... almost like lychee mixed with banana a little bit.
Oh.
It's like, that sounds it's got nice. Like kind of a creaminess of banana.
Yeah.
Look, this is just lawful good. It's not that weird. I mean, it's a weird fruit for us to see, but it's definitely normal in a lot of other places, and it tastes great. Yeah. You should have more of these.
Yeah.
Usually when I see tropical fruit in other places, sometimes when a food is like specific to one region, you're like, you try it and you're like, I can tell why this is specific only to this region. No one else really wants it. And tropical fruit is not like that. I feel like it would be great if it was everywhere, but obviously it won't grow everywhere, so...
Yeah. I remember when I was in Taiwan, I had, and also in Thailand as well, they had these kind of red bell-shaped fruits that had a texture of a giant grape.
That sounds amazing. Wow.
It was, and it didn't taste, it tasted a bit like a grape, not like Japanese grapes. And Japanese grapes taste like grape flavoring.
Yeah.
I'd always wondered where that flavor of grape flavoring came from. It turns out grapes in other places taste like that.
Yeah. It's the American Concord grape.
Oh.
Is what the grape flavor is based on, which is actually slightly not related to the common grape.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It actually, I think I might be wrong. I might be misleading our listeners here. If memory serves me right, my little Iron Chef reference. Then it's actually a grape that's native to America that was crossed with European grapes.
Oh.
And then there was that video we watched about someone making grape flavoring from rubber gloves.
Oh.
The YouTuber. I can't remember his name. We'll add that in.
Oh, Niall Red.
That's it.
He
makes grape soda from rubber gloves.
That's wild.
It's so wild, and it works.
Is it safe to drink?
Yeah, he drinks it. Oh.
He consumes a lot of things that I'm not sure how safe they are, but...
That is truly the most cursed fruit, then. Yeah. Grape soda made from rubber gloves.
Gloves.
Yeah. Speaking
of... Now, Red, please sponsor us.
Yeah. So I think you actually brought these like over a year ago.
No. These came from a box of Japanese snacks that one of my friends in the UK sent to me in Australia as a Secret Santa gift. That is the origin of these.
Okay. They're Merry Christmas, Happy Christmas in August, late Christmas yes. in July. Merry Christmas, Purunto.
Oh.
These are cursed just because of what they are.
Yeah. So, like, they're grape and strawberry flavor, but so they are, like, little sachets. And the picture on the front shows, like, and there's instructions on the back as well of someone, like, squeezing the sachets and, like a bubble gum bubble pops out.
That's so, like, not appealing.
And so, yeah, they feel a bit like a sort of stress toy or something.
Like yeah. a water snake.
So these are like a jelly inside a squeezable
yeah.
thing. Like the things that were banned from primary school because kids choked on them.
yeah. Yeah, except very tiny.
Oh, okay. Like, oh, and if they're like the ones that you squeeze out of a tiny hole, so not like the cup shape.
Yeah, I presume they're similar to the little jelly cups that, yes, now I remember what you're talking about, where people put them in their mouths and go like and suck out the jelly, and then like once a year some child would inhale the cup.
Selection.
Yeah. Oh, these actually need scissors, it looks like.
Oh, no, really? No,
I can tear. Okay, I'm gonna start with grape, and I'm going to see if I can do the little bubble as depicted.
Oh, this looks gross. It's like a weird light pink.
It's like a worm coming out of a hole in the sand.
Yeah. It is a very wormy colour.
I'm following the instructions, so you squeeze it and then you open your mouth and go, oh, it's so firm. Okay. I was definitely expecting that to be soft because I was like,
oh my god, I can smell that from here. That is really strong.
It's a really strong fake grape hubba bubba sort of taste.
Yeah.
But no, I was expecting that to be soft because I was squeezing it out of the bag and like
it looks like glue.
Yeah, it has the texture of like dried PVA.
a texture we're all familiar with.
Yeah.
We all know that like mouthfeel.
It's like a really solid konnyaku.
Oh, wow. Because konnyaku is pretty solid. Is it made out of konnyaku? It could, because konnyaku jelly is like a thing.
All right, I'm going to try the strawberry one now. But the taste is like, the smell is stronger than the taste by a lot.
Oh, it's really chewy.
Okay. For anyone that's unfamiliar with konnyaku, it's like I think sometimes it's called konjac in English.
Mm.
And it's like a type of potato that's processed into like a kind of gelatinous block or into noodles.
It's actually not konnyaku this though. It's
already?
A gelling agent thickening polysaccharide.
Oh wow, it says konnyaku on the front.
Weird.
It's fake. It's chemical konnyaku.
Konnyaku.
Even more nothing.
The strawberry is weirdly less dense than the grape.
Oh, that's not like. Oh no, I guess grapes in the inside they're less dense than.
I think it might be because it's a little bit more acidic. The strawberry's nicer.
Oh, good.
Okay, I think these are true neutral. The particular depiction, which I think we'll have to like take a little photo of the person like squeezing a weird bubble into their mouth.
Yeah, it looks kind of obscene in a weird way.
is like very funny and kind of chaotic, but otherwise it's just like a little sachet of jelly, like slightly unpleasant jelly, but I can see like kiddos getting behind it. This seems like something. Like, they're the perfect size to, like, put in a lunchbox and be like, that's your treat. And it's probably more healthy than a Freddo frog, which is, like, the same size.
Is it zero calorie? A lot of, like, konnyaku jelly like is zero. Zero. Each,
so they're pretty low.
Oh, okay.
Mm.
Yeah.
It's probably also eaten instead of sugar.
Yeah, no, you can buy these. You can buy these, like, huge blocks, kind of like the size of a block of tofu from a convenience store of, like, konnyaku jelly. And it's zero calorie and it's very sweet, and it tastes so much like artificial sweetener. It's awful.
And they do konnyaku noodles as well, which are kind of a bit of a health food thing sometimes. But they they really, for some reason, have this weird fish smell, and you have to like wash them.
They do. That fish smell. As I wash it, and it, even washing it, you can't get rid of it. But if you cook it for a long time in something, like if you like, if you're making like sukiyaki, which is a classic dish to have the konnyaku noodles in, by the time you've like boiled it for like half an hour in the soup stock, thankfully that fish taste dissipates. But yeah, that fish smell, it smells off fish to me.
It's so weird. Okay, so do we have any fruit facts?
I thought now we're doing our live cross.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, we'll do our live cross. And then, so on to the next round, I guess.
See you on the other side.
See you on the other side.
Okay, so here we've got a black sapote. What does it look like, Robin?
We've opened it up. The outside looked, I guess, kind of like a big lime, but without the rough texture, sort of green. We saw some on trees earlier that actually looked black on the outside, but most of them seem to be green colour. It's quite nice. It's like an emerald green. And then inside, we've opened this up already, it just looks gacked. It's like dark chocolate colour. It's like a mush inside. Is that a seed there?
Yeah.
It's like a...
So the man we bought it from said you have to wait till it looks gross.
And like, this is really soft on the outside. Like you hold it and it's like the softest avocado ever.
So if you've had an astringent persimmon, you have to wait till they kind of look like they're rotten and the skin starts to go see-through. And he was like, wait for that. So we did.
Yeah.
We had it in a bag with a banana. And yeah, as Robin said, it was like the softest avocado ever. So we've opened it up. It looks like sort of really dark Nutella or something, I would say.
Yeah, it looks like a spread.
But with string, small strings in it. All right, do you want to try some?
Yeah. Okay. It's really mushy. It's like baby food. The flavor is quite subtle. It doesn't have any flavor at the front. And then the aftertaste is like almost slightly malty. It's like, it's a little bit of, similar to a persimmon. It's quite mild.
Yeah. So yeah, it's an avocado like texture.
Yeah.
Maybe even softer than an avocado. A persimmon is soft like that, but it's kind of juicy, whereas this feels kind of creamy. And then yeah, it has like a very kind of florally, almost soft persimmon taste, I'd say. It's apparently also known as the chocolate pudding fruit, and I'm not sure I'd immediately leap to chocolatey.
If I saw this on the ground, I would not eat it. Like, if I opened it up as a fruit, I'd be like, that is not a food. But it is a food.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool.
And it's nice. Like, we've got a sticky date pudding now to eat with it, which I think will be nicer. Like,
the old man we bought it from told us it would be really good in a milkshake.
Yeah.
And I do see that, actually.
I can definitely see that now that I've tried it, because I was sort of imagining it more like a persimmon, which is juicy and kind of has a gummy texture while being really soft, whereas this is definitely like a more creamy texture. So that's the black sapote.
Yeah, how do you rate it between chaotic and lawful?
I think it's chaotic good.
I think it's chaotic good, yeah.
Because yeah, opening that up, that was like pretty chaotic, but it's like, yeah, it's nice.
I have to go and make my second thing.
Oh. Yeah, we'll take a quick interval for that. This way you didn't smell what the powder smells like.
Oh no.
This is vile. Here you go. Enjoy your drink.
Bone apple tea.
Bone apple tea.
So upset.
Oh, I can smell it. It's so bad. Okay. Should I go first?
Yeah.
You go first. You go first.
All right, room.
Okay. Hi. Welcome back to the next round. So, again, this is from the trip to KFL, the big Asian supermarket that's next to Cheaper by Miles. Our unofficial, like, not sponsoring us sponsor. And this is This is you're very familiar with the instant sachet coffees in Japan, yeah?
Yes, yeah.
Popular all over, like very looked down upon in coffee snob Melbourne, but yes. Loved all around Asia, I think.
I think so, yeah.
And so Robin has just gone down and come back to me with a lovely durian white coffee.
Oh my god.
Now I have never tried durian as an actual fruit, so I have foisted this off onto Connor.
So yeah, we debated briefly. We were like, should Robin have it because they're the coffee fiend, or should I have it because Robin's never had durian?
Mm.
And it's landed on me.
Do you like durian?
I like durian I've had durian and I've liked it when it's like durian itself, like on rice.
Yeah.
Durian flavored things I'm much more skeptical of.
Yeah. I think durian is like, it's kind of like the best. Every durian is like I've eaten is like the best mango I've ever had in my entire life. Mm. But then it's just smells like onions.
Yeah.
it's like the payoff for having, like, you've made some kind of, like, it's kind of like a monkey's paws. Yeah,
yeah.
You've made like a pact.
I think the smell smells like someone's breath after they've eaten too much garlic.
Oh yeah, true. Yeah,
but it's a real allium smell, like onion, yeah. Garlic, sort of. But it, yeah, it tastes like the taste. It does, yeah, a really good, slightly savory mango.
It just smells really, like unwashed human to me.
My favorite durian incident was like a couple of years ago at RMIT, which is one of the unis here. They evacuated a library because of a gas leak, and then they discovered it was actually just a durian. So yes,
I guess Robin according to RMIT security, durians also smell like natural gas.
Robin walked into the room with a durian coffee for me.
And what if we got a gas leak in here?
Yeah. And I couldn't smell it for a minute, and then I could intensely smell the durian. Now that I've lifted it up, though, it smells more like instant coffee.
Weirdly, the sachet mix smelled very like durian, but also like chocolate.
Yeah.
So it must have chocolate powder in it.
And then when you sniffing it really close, maybe slightly chocolatey. I don't know.
Is it milk? Is it milk coffee?
It's a milk coffee, yeah. I don't think it has cocoa in it. It's very hot. I have a weak tongue, so this might... Okay.
I hope it tastes better than it smells.
Durian tastes better than it smells.
Mm. This is really quite unusual.
I'm looking at the ingredients. They're obviously translated from Indonesian, but part of the ingredients say instant white coffee and permitted flavoring.
As permitted flavoring.
Flavorings are not permitted.
So when I take a sip, like the first taste on the front of your tongue is just like like white sachet coffee, like blendy stick, Nescafe, whatever.
Yeah.
And then as it goes into your mouth, it tastes really like sweet and kind of like generically fruity. And then like the sort of back of the palate smell, like sinus taste is durian smell.
Yeah.
Like very intense.
Oh, wow.
Durian smell.
What a journey.
Yeah. So it's a journey from like, sweet to savory.
Yeah.
It's a journey from coffee to durian.
Yeah.
Wow. Robin just tried some and looks like about to be sick.
I hate that. Oh, it's kind of got like a sulfur egg taste going on.
Yeah.
That's a sulfur Asian egg taste.
Okay. Again,
that sounds truly bizarre.
Yeah. I'm hesitant to call it chaotic. because I don't know how common this is.
I think.
I feel like fruit coffee is pretty chaotic.
Yeah.
Fruit coffee is pretty chaotic.
This is, I think this is chaotic evil.
It sounds truly bizarre. Like,
Well, the aftertaste is still there. That's so rank.
Yeah, I think this is chaotic evil as well. And, like, in a similar way to how the fruit sandwich was chaotic, because this is less than the sum of its parts.
Yeah.
This improves neither the coffee nor the durian.
Probably just like a durian milk sachet would taste better than that.
Yeah, durian milk would be pretty normal, I think. Like,
yeah, a durian, like, yeah,
it
like
really doesn't blend with the coffee flavor. Like,
a durian milkshake and a coffee would be preferable. Then, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Have 9 sachets of this to use. What are we going to do? Do you have anyone you hate?
We'll have a bone apple tea party.
Put it in the staff room. Put just like the sachets in the staff room. Yes.
Melbourne Uni is going to have a new taste experience. Yeah. Okay, so my next food is actually one that Connor found. This is shapes. Shapes are a very popular kind of cracker in Australia. They always have the great slogan on them, which is flavor you can see, which is
it's true.
What's that?
Yeah. They used to have these kind of cursed ads where they would like, you would have like a shape in like some kind of colorful void. And then they would zoom in on the shape to reveal that what were you thought specks of powder are in fact several dads barbecuing on the surface of the biscuit.
Sounds amazing.
Oh, you're talking like, about the shapes campaign.
Yeah. Or like for the pizza shapes, they would have.
My favorite shapes are the Vegemite flavored shapes, which are shaped like Australia and Tasmania.
They're yum.
Tasmania is huge.
Yeah. They're yum. I like the Vegemite shapes.
They're great. But these are not Vegemite shapes. These are loosely fitting the definition of fruit Hawaiian pizza shapes. They got a big old pineapple on the box. The box is yellow and purple. And they've got pictures of the shapes on them. Shapes are normally, like the name suggests, just sort of weird different shapes. These ones are sort of triangular, almost like a pizza shape with a picture of pineapple embossed onto them.
So the emphasis on the pineapple is why these are getting in on the fruit app.
It's pretty weird to have pineapple crackers.
Is Hawaiian pizza the name that everyone calls that kind of pizza? In the UK, would you have Hawaiian pizza at like a mum and pop pizza shop?
Yeah, it's really common.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, I like pineapple on pizza. I don't like Hawaiian pizza because that usually has ham as well. But
yeah,
pineapple and olive is such a good combo, and I feel like
it is a good combo. Pineapple and olive. That was my go when I was a kid. We would order a margarita pizza, and I would get pineapple and olives put onto the pizza.
Amazing! You had such good taste.
Perfect. Impeccable taste.
Okay. Smelling it, it just smells like a pizza box.
Oh.
That's what regular pizza shapes smell like.
Okay. Yeah, regular. What shape are these shapes?
They are sort of like a pizza shape, but with the bottom knocked off. So like kind of the square at the bottom.
Oh, they're like a trapezium, like a very tall trapezium.
With a little, I don't know if you can see it there, but a little pineapple embossed on.
Oh, nice. That's pretty nice cute. Detail.
Yep, they smell very cheesy, really. That's actually really good.
Really?
It's cheesy. It's got like the cheesy, salty flavor, but then it's got the sweet pineapple flavor. That is a great combination.
Yeah. Shapes can be pretty hit and miss with their specialty flavors.
Yeah, I've had some pretty weird shapes. There's almost no ham taste here. And that's a good thing because I don't like the taste of ham.
Yeah.
It's kind of like sweet, salty combo.
And this one doesn't contain any actual ham as well, does it?
Mm-hmm. I don't think so, no.
Guess if you were trying to like recreate a flavor of ham, you may as well just put like some, like, I don't know, like a little bit of liquid smoke in there rather than bothering. Mm. Like it would be so much more expensive to use actual.
I mean, I think that's how they usually do bacon flavor.
Most shapes do not have any meat in them.
No.
Yeah. What is it like chicken chips? Like,
No, these are great. Like, I would eat I would eat this box. It'd probably be better with some dip, like some garlic aioli or something.
Oh, there's some fancy shapes for you, some aeolian shapes.
Aeolian shapes. But no, I'm going to give this neutral good. I think it's a bit weird, but it's not super weird.
Yeah.
Given the pre-existence of pizza shapes.
Exactly, yeah. I can see why they'd think this up. It's turned out to be a good idea. Yeah, these are fine. I would probably get these if there were not veggie white shapes on offer.
Yeah, my favourite shapes are, I'm split between barbecue and pizza.
I love pizza.
They're both, I love just how sour barbecue shapes are, but I love just like eating pizza shapes feels like coming home, you know? Mm. I love pizza shapes.
But no, these are good, right? Rue, your turn.
Alrighty, my final item, I've got a drink. This is something I've had in the cupboard for months, but it hasn't gone off, unlike some other drinks I've drunk on this program. This is, as we talked about how Japan tries to market its coffee as though it's actually good coffee, like it's like bottle coffee and canned coffee. This is the UCC cold brew coffee, lemonade edition. It's got a big thing on the front saying like, it's got like the zest and the fragrance of lemons. And then it's got a quite a long passage on the side describing just how incredible this experience is going to be. it talks again about the zestiness. It talks about the sweet and sourness and how that deliciousness matches like perfectly. Like
they use like it's a really kind hard of... to combine the bitterness of coffee with sour.
Yeah.
Is it a milk coffee or
no, it's not a milk coffee, it's a black coffee.
Okay.
And it says it's got a aftertaste, it's got a good aftertaste. And it's got this big thing on the front that says it's all in katakana. And for those who don't know, katakana is like the syllabary in Japanese, it's used for loan words only. So this is a loan word, but I've got no idea what this is. I will read it out and then maybe, is it a type of lemon? I'm not like clued into what lemon types there are, but it's arenji koru dobryu. Arenji koru.
Arenji koru. That sounds like it might be a lemon.
Yeah. Arenji koru. Yeah, I don't know. It's got a difficult sound to make in the middle. Maybe it's like French or something.
Angela lemon.
Ah, well, it's got that in it. And I've looked at the ingredients. The number one ingredient is sugar.
Beautiful.
Which is another coffee. Name for the Maya lemon.
Oh, okay. Then the next ingredient is coffee. And then the next ingredient is a lemon sauce. So let's try this out. This was in the bargain bin before I even saw it on the shelves. So it doesn't bode well. Oh, that smells bizarre. It smells alcoholic.
Ooh.
It's not.
Are you sure you just haven't had it so long that now it is alcoholic?
Now it's alcoholic. It smells like a, do you know what? It smells like a cheap espresso martini. Like... all right. I'm gonna try this. It tastes like a cheap watered down espresso martini, but with no alcohol.
Shout out to Yayas.
I'm at Yayas, and they've let it go to room temperature. Wow, that's much stranger than I thought it was going to be. Let me just let it sit in my mouth like a.
Sommelier.
Do some like I inhaled some of it. So one, there's no aftertaste, there is just taste. So the packaging was wrong. It tastes like cheap watered down coffee. It tastes like you've made like it says cold brew, I don't know. It tastes like instant coffee that you've put too much water in. So it's very watery. And then it's just got, you can't like taste a distinct flavor of lemon, just like citric acid, just like a kind of vaguely acidic. And it's quite sweet as well, but not chloringly sweet, even though sugar is the second ingredient. Yeah, very much so. It's like, imagine you're at Yaya's and you're drinking an espresso martini, but it's been like even further watered down, and you can tell that they didn't put any alcohol in it. You can tell you've been hard done to on the alcohol front.
Mm-hmm.
It's not good. It's not good. I can see why it was in the bargain bin. I've got a lot of it. I'm going to go, I don't think it's evil.
I feel like it's hard to rank something evil after the durian coffee, after seeing after, that.
Yeah. This isn't evil, but it's just not good. So it's neutral on the flavor. It's a lemonade coffee. How chaotic. I'm going to go true neutral. I think this is true neutral. Oh, no, it's chaotic neutral.
Mm. Yeah, that fits.
Yeah, I think it's chaotic neutral. I think it's a bizarre, why did you make this one? Mm. Why did, after you tasted it, think it was a good idea?
Mm.
Like, I can't, sometimes when I taste something, like, for example, when I drank that Yakult Too High, I was like, well, I guess someone might like that. I don't know who would like this. Like,
yeah, it sounds like they failed even doing the thing they were trying to do.
Yeah, like, I don't know. Like, people who really like sweet coffees will want a sweet milky coffee. Mm-hmm. And people who like black coffees don't want it meddled with.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know who this is for. I don't know who would like it. I think it's chaotic neutral.
It's for the bargain bin.
It's for the bargain bin.
So, shall we discuss some ones that got away?
Yeah.
Yes. Well, instead of ones that got away, I want to talk about ones that didn't get away that I ate in the past.
Yeah.
This is in Japan. Japan's quite famous. You see like a lot of like kind of BuzzFeed-esque videos and articles about very expensive fruits in Japan,
mm-hmm.
Which are all a little bit misleading because like I think people – like a lot of people were like, did you know there are square watermelons in Japan? And like the square watermelons themselves are, yes, they exist in Japan.
I think I only ever saw those once. Like, yeah.
Yeah, they are incredibly hard to get. They're incredibly expensive. They make about 1,000 a year. They're mm-hmm. like one farm that makes it. And
I think the trick is that they're equally novel for Japanese people as they are for foreigners.
Yeah,
exactly. Like, and like you'll see like an article that's like talking about like Japanese innovation, and they'll be like, say like, oh, Japan grows square watermelons so you can stack them in the truck better. And no, that's not the case. And it's kind of like a show piece. It's individuals don't buy these square watermelons. A supermarket will buy a square watermelon to put in like a summer fruits display to entice customers in or encourage them to buy fruits. So kind of in the same way that you hear like at the fish market, they'll be like, oh, this sushi shop bought this like massive tuna for $1 million. And it's like, no, this was advertising. They paid $1 million on advertising because now you know this sushi restaurant or whatever. So a lot of fancy fruits that you see with the really expensive price tags, they are like for companies to, it's like a centerpiece. And then the other expensive fruit, like at around like $100 per thing, rather than like the square watermelons are like $1,000 per thing. But like the actually expensive fruit are a gift given in the same way that you'd give it like someone a bunch of flowers. Like if you're buying like a nice like bouquet of flowers, it's going to cost you like $100. Mm. Like you could easily spend like it's like $30 for an average bouquet of flowers, and then it just goes up from there.
Yeah, so like the amount you're spending is part of the gift, really. Like
Like it's in the same way that like we value flowers as like a gesture. Like it's the same with fruit, but this time you can eat it. So I have eaten some expensive fruits, and a while ago, some friends visited me, and we pulled all our savings together and went to a fancy fruit shop and also the regular supermarket and bought like 3 different levels of strawberries.
Amazing.
We bought the like average punnet of strawberries from the supermarket, which are still not cheap. Fruit generally is not cheap in Japan.
Have you even had the white ones? Because they look really cool. Yes. But I never tried them.
Yes, that was the most expensive fruit strawberry that we bought. So the regular packet of strawberries was like about $7 for about 8 strawberries.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a regular price for strawberries in Japan, like on season, normal price. Then the next one we got was 5 strawberries for about $20.
Mm.
And then the final strawberry we got was 1 strawberry for $30.
Whoa.
And that was one of the white strawberries, which we cut up very meticulously so we could all have a slither of the white strawberry. And the white strawberry, the regular strawberries are just regular strawberries, you know? Strawberries are good. Mm-hmm. Then the next strawberries up were just like, you know how like in every packet of strawberries you've got like, you'll have one strawberry that's just like a cut above the rest?
Yeah.
Like it's more sweet, but it's still firm. And it's just like the perfect strawberry. It just tastes like all 5 of them were the perfect strawberry. So nothing I'd never experienced before, but it was delightful because they're delicious. And then finally, the $30 single strawberry was like quite honestly the best strawberry I've ever had in my life. Very delicate.
That'd be for that price.
I know. Very aromatic, kind of soft flesh. Great. Really good. Not worth $30 though. And it was a little bit too perfumed and didn't have much acidity to it. Mm-hmm. And I like a bit of acidity in my strawberries. So like,
you see, this is probably because you've grown up in Australia where strawberries are really sharp. In Britain, strawberries are really sweet. Like every year we get like Scottish strawberries, they just taste like candy. They're so sweet. Yeah. You don't even need to put sugar on them. And then I came to Australia and had strawberries here and they taste like acid. They're kind of lemony. Not lemon flavor, but just like sharp and tart. Yeah. They do get better on pavlova. Like pavlova with the sweet strawberry is too much. But pavlova tart strawberries, delicious, great combo. But
because I like the tart strawberry. I like a lot of sour.
It's probably what you've grown up with. I don't like them as much because I expect strawberries to be super sweet. But yeah, no, the ones we get in Scotland and like the ones we used to have in Ireland and stuff, just perfect. Like
my dad always talks about strawberries from Wexford.
Irish strawberries are beautiful. Like I think they need that kind of cold to really thrive.
My dad, like, whenever he eats a strawberry, he's like, it's not like the ones from Wexford.
Ones that got away for us, it was the soursop we had, we didn't manage to eat, and now maybe should have done, but it was one we stole from.
We stole the soursop from the ground.
Yeah.
And then it went bad.
The other one that got away did not even leave our hotel room in Cairns. The elephant apple. We found this at a incredibly mosquito-filled botanical garden tropical fruit section in Cairns.
So it had the tropical fruit section and they were all labels. And I Googled the elephant apple. And
also every tree was covered in these green ants that love to sting Connor.
Yeah.
Oh no.
I got a lot of green ant bites.
So you may not have paid for the elephant apple, but you did pay like in blood.
Yeah. Exactly. but I got the elephant apple and put it in my bag. And then like, as we were walking back to the bus, I was Googling the elephant apple. And Google was not kind to the elephant apple.
It was like,
oh no.
Not typically eaten, but those that choose to eat it, I think was the description.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, what a ringing endorsement.
So it was like those who choose to eat it tend to go for the outer petals. And it turns out it's some kind of giant flower, actually.
Oh, that's bizarre.
But, oh my God, if you think durians smell bad.
We put it in the fridge in our hostel room and then we just left it there. And I feel so bad about that. And then I had to go back into the hostel to grab something later and the whole kitchen smelled of it. So clearly it had been thrown away.
Yeah.
It's like, oh no, we've caused the fruit gas leak here.
Yeah.
We did not want to even cut it open. And we're pretty adventurous with food. So
yeah.
The other apple got away.
When it was picked, it didn't it smelt a little funky, but fine. But then as time went on, it just got a more and more intense durian kind of ghastly smell.
Like durian without the vague promise that it could be nice. We also didn't manage to try the monstera fruit.
Yeah. So we were looking because the monsteras in cans were huge. So any houseplant fans have heard of the monstera deliciosa. That name is because apparently its fruit is incredibly delicious.
But in
a strange twist, it's also incredibly poisonous if you don't eat it when it's ripe.
Oh.
So it's so it's a high risk fruit. But we were not sure if they were ripe. We didn't want to risk dying.
No.
We're not that.
I mean, that'd be a great sacrifice for the podcast.
But we'd never get to report back.
No, you'd just be dead.
Yeah.
And then, oh man.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I think that sounds like something kind of like puffer fish, kind of like the fugu to get, like a licensed Monstera Deliciosa dealer.
Yeah.
So
the quest to eat the Monstera fruit continues.
I heard about this blue banana that apparently tastes like vanilla ice cream.
What?
And yeah.
That sounds fake.
It does sound fake, but I have seen it on the internet, so maybe it's fake. But they don't make that many and it sells out and it's from somewhere in the States. So
another one that keeps coming up when I mention this podcast as well is the cloud berry. People are you're going to get a cloud berry.
I've had cloud berries.
Oh, really? What's it like?
Okay. Cloudberry is, they grow in Scandinavia.
Yeah.
It's like a tiny raspberry that grows on top of mountains and it's bright orange and it grows upside down. So imagine a raspberry, but upside down on a little stalk growing on a mountaintop.
It is
beautiful. I had cloudberry cheesecake on a cruise ship back when those were a thing in Norway when I was about 13. Didn't really rate it. It's not very sweet. Just remember it being kind of acidic and seedy. Didn't rate it.
Yeah.
Never gonna see it again, but not gonna miss it. But it's sort of a bit of a delicacy, I think, because it's so hard to get hold of and it is kind of adorable and unique. I remember it being on postcards in Norway.
Mm. Yeah.
But I doubt we're gonna get one in Victoria.
Yeah. And then one that I think we should have a whole episode devoted to this another time is, but it is a fruit, is the miracle berry.
Yes,
We did miracle berries.
We did do miracle berries.
Before you moved out of your old house, yeah.
Yeah. I think somewhere, I don't know if I still got miracle berry, but it was weird. It was wild. I had a great time.
Yeah. Very fun.
Well, it turns my banana story is somewhat true. There is a banana called Blue Java Banana, and it's from Southeast Asia, and it's got an ice cream-like consistency and a flavor reminiscent of vanilla, but it is not blue.
Yeah.
There are silvery blue when unripe, but when it's ripe, it's a pale yellow.
The other one, I was listening to another podcast the other day, and they were talking about pears and how there's all these, and just fruits in general, about how there's all these species that are extinct. And apparently yeah. there used to be a pear that had been bred by the French aristocracy or something yeah. and had the texture of butter. So it was like there was oh. absolutely no graininess, and like you could mash it, like kind of like an avocado.
Wow. What happened to this pear?
It went extinct because you can't transport it.
Oh.
You can't, well, no, there was like when the trees started getting old, people didn't make cuttings and grow new ones. Because like most fruits don't breed true. So when you get one that's nice, its babies won't necessarily be nice. You have to do cuttings.
Oh, okay.
Like all apples that are Bramley apples are genetically the same. They're not like, it's not like they're siblings. They're like literally clones of each other. So you have to consciously make a decision to continue a line. You have to make a cutting and grow new ones.
Yeah, so they obviously and graft it onto other trees? Or?
Hmm?
Do you like graft?
Yeah, you graft. So, this tree went extinct because it was not, its fruits weren't economically viable, even though they sound delicious.
They do. Oh, I'd love to try that.
It removes the part about pears that's unpleasant.
Yeah, the graininess is the worst part of the pear.
Yeah.
Man.
But maybe in the future someone will breed a similar thing.
Yeah, we know the pears have that potential. It's possible. We can do it.
It's locked away in the genes of pears.
We can for hope.
Yes.
All right, on that note, shall we wrap up?
I think next time we were thinking of
actually doing ice cream episode.
Yeah,
we found some weird ice creams. We're gonna go.
And I think mine are hopefully not freezer burnt and ready to go.
Yeah. Been waiting since summer.
Awesome. Yep. So check them out on whatever social medias we're on.
You can listen to us on a variety of different platforms. And thank you to Ample Tunes for their song Jimmy's Jam that we use for various applications throughout the podcast. Yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you for listening and bon appétit.